Do you need anything before we start? Also, if you need anything after we start, that's fine. That's what editing's for.
So you're saying don't just like get up in the middle and walk away or anything?
I mean, like you can, honestly. It's fine. Also known as Somniloquist. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it?
We're here in Albuquerque, and how would you describe yourself to somebody who hasn't heard your music before?
That's a tough one. I usually just tell people. No, it's okay. When people ask, I just say it's kind of like a heavy shoegaze sort of sound.
Okay.
It's like sort of like going between being like dreamy and really like heavy with lots of builds and
absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And shoegaze, for people who like aren't familiar necessarily, I always interpreted shoegaze as like it's, you know, like you're literally looking down at your shoes because you're busy with a pedal board. Is that what you think of as shoegaze?
Yeah, I mean that's kind of where it got its name, and then it sort of just describes like a really heavy like effect driven sound that tends to be really dreamy and kind of spacey.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, that makes sense to me. Cool. So before we talk about your split with Overwhelm, you're listening to your music, your songs aren't really like a verse chorus kind of form that you're gonna hear with like top 40 stuff on the radio. More it's the way I think of it, at least when I'm listening to your songs, when I'm listening to your tunes, is like you know you're starting here and it's almost like if you were I'm very much like a road trip person, so if you're driving like through a space, you're starting at a point and you're driving through something and you're getting to this end point. What can you describe kind of what your typical approach to songwriting is like?
So typically I start with a little idea. Like I'll be just kind of like doodling around on my guitar, and mm-hmm. then I'll find something and be like, oh, that's kind of pretty, and I'll kind of create a drone out of it, and typically I'll set a loop for that.
Oh.
And then I will sit and build on that loop for a while until I sort of get an idea of where I want to go with the song. And then at that point, I kind of just turn everything off and turn on my recording equipment. Uh-huh. And I start to like redo the song as a recording. And it kind of started as like a necessity of playing live solo, because I wanted to be able to create songs that I would be able to perform live by myself. Yeah. And so I would start recording it to have like that record and be like, okay, here's how I want to do it. I tend to record because I have to, or I won't remember how to play a song. And yeah. even then, like I'll look back at like recordings I have. For the split I'm doing with Overwhelm, I think I have 9 tracks that I started, and okay. out of the 9, I ended up with 2 that are yeah. actually going out. So it's like, I feel like I have to put them down. So my songwriting kind of revolves around getting these ideas down, and then. Mm-hmm. working through them to create like a feeling and sort of capture an idea. A lot of my songs are like trying to capture what my dreams feel like.
Ooh. Do you feel, well, you said you have, I mean, everybody sort of has a different experience with their dreams. Do you remember your dreams very clearly, or does it depend?
It kind of depends, but most of my dreams I remember as feelings. Oh. And so then I try to translate those feelings into sound through the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm approaching the songs, it's kind of like, here's that sound that felt like that dream I was having.
Uh-huh.
And then go from there. And a lot of times it ends up being sort of like those builds, or just like like a heavy wall that just kind of like breathes and little parts come in and out. And
that's so kind of cool. My approach. No, I love that. Cause I think I don't tend to very every now and then I do remember a dream clearly, or I'll remember a little part of it, but it's not for very long. And overwhelmingly, I would say it's more like I wake up and I have a certain feeling, and the dreams are so crazy because it's like how your brain is feeling, like when you go to sleep affects how you dream affects how you feel the next day. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but I just think it's really interesting that you're sort of translating like a vibe, a feeling from a dream into a sonic experience.
I also like, I've never really been super about that verse, chorus, verse, because I don't think that songs are always meant to just be that. And I do like the idea of like a theme and variation in mm-hmm. my songs. So that's why I tend to have like a drone. So like that original track would be like that initial sound would be like my little drone that's going. And typically they go through the background of like every single song. They just get buried, or I'll bring them down and bring them back up at certain points and stuff. So those drones are always kind of there, just going.
Love a drone.
And like that drone is just kind of like the base point where I get to explore afterwards.
Yeah. There's this French singer named Camille who, she has an album, I think it's called The Fille, which I think is translates, I think, to The Thread or something similar. And there's like a vocal like drone that goes through the entire album, like through every, like from song to song. And so you just made me think of that.
Man, that's an insane way to tie an album together.
I know. It's a great album. I love it. But yeah, I love that idea that there's this kind of, you might not be necessarily like super aware of it all the time when you're listening, but there's this little like foundation, there's this foundation that's kind of throughout. Overwhelm is a band that's local to Albuquerque, and you're doing this split with them. So I was wondering just like, how did deciding to do that split take shape? And I was wondering if working with Overwhelm, you know, if that affected at all or had any impact on how you normally write songs.
So I met Overwhelm at a show that I played with Midwife a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
In a parking lot in front of Long Hair Records, which is like just
amazing.
Long Hair is an incredible like local record store too. And like they were there and they hadn't played any shows yet. And they were like, hey, like we want to do this Project Overwhelm. Like we're going to get going. We're going to start playing shows.
They were
like super new. And we started chatting and I saw them play and I was like, wow, you guys are fucking amazing. Like I want to do a split with you at some point in the future. And we kind of like tossed the idea back and forth for maybe like, oh, I want to say like a year, maybe 2 years. And then we started... eventually we were like, let's just do this. And so we started, I think back in October, I started writing for the split, and writing and recording. And I got the first song done in December and I was like, man, this song kind of like needs something. I don't know exactly what it is. And we were like, hey, let's like collaborate on the songs together too.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just having like a split where we each play our sides, like the split's gonna end up being one song from each side has the members from the other projects playing on them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then they actually, when I had that song finished, they came and played live with me in December for that song, which was just incredible. And it like warmed my heart and I was just like,
aww. Oh,
like Overwhelm are like such sweethearts. I love them.
Oh my God.
And they like showed up and played. I got to like work on their stuff. So it kind of, like, I wrote my songs sort of the same way that I normally do,
mm-hmm.
but tried to leave some space on Won't for Overwhelm to come in and put some guitar down.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up just being this gigantic wall of guitar that...
You're like, I left some space for guitar, and they're like, cool!
Yeah, but I think it ended up being something like 7 guitar tracks total.
Holy
on that
shit.
Song. It's, yeah, it's a little extra.
That's like whatever guitarist dreams of. They're like, more guitar!
Yeah. When we played it live, like, it was insane. I was like, this is so goddamn loud. And it was like, that was really great. Working with them was really awesome, like getting to play on their songs, because like Milan, the guitarist, one of their guitarists came over and we just kind of like sat down, like we were just like kind of playing on their stuff, and it was just, I don't know, it was really fun. It was the first time I'd played with other musicians in like 5 or 6 years.
Oh man.
Because I've been doing the solo thing for I think 5 years. Somnolica started as a solo project, and I involved a couple folks, and then we sort of separated and went other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it solo since then.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like really interesting playing with a band again, and kind of like it informed the way I wrote the second song in a way, because it was just like, oh, I don't have to sort of do that like kind of drony industrial sound that I normally tend to lean into. I can do something that's a little more like band sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's Dead Willow came out and was just like, I feel like sort of a departure from what I was doing before.
Yeah.
But in a good way. So yeah, I'm like, working with Overwhelm has sort of like changed how I'm approaching my songwriting in a big way.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm writing this stuff to be played live with a band.
That's awesome.
I'm still working on like putting a band together.
Yeah.
But that's like, it sort of informed me to be like, hey, maybe this is something I want to do with this project moving forward, is play with more people and have more like involvement with other folks to get better perspectives.
Yeah. There is nothing like some good old fashioned collaboration.
Yes.
That is, I do feel like that's hard sometimes, because sometimes you're doing your own thing and you're doing the solo thing. You know how you work, how you want to work, how you want to write songs. And sometimes it feels almost easier to just do everything yourself. And then you collaborate with a couple other people and you're like, this is also nice. Working with other humans is also kind of cool.
Yeah. I still have a hard time with it, and like I know that other people are like, oh man, I don't know, like I'm sure if you talked to Overwhelm at this point, they'd be like, they need to get their shit together.
I'm sure that they're like, oh my god, they're a delight to work with. Aww. Yeah, it's I feel like it can be challenging where like you know you love working with other people sometimes, and then just literally logistically you're like, okay, like, how do I make this happen with other people?
Yeah.
It's
like one of those things that I don't miss about playing with a band is like coordinating 3 other people to show up at the same place at the same time with
yes.
all of their gear and be ready.
I'm like, that's too many boxes to check.
Absolutely. I'm like, I know where my amp is, I know where my guitar is, and I'll show up and it'll be fine.
So I wanted to ask, in a lot of your music, there's kind of, and I hope this question makes sense the way that I'm like wording it, but there's kind of like a blurring, like there's lots of distortion, there's reverb, and at the same time, it's so funny because I think it was just like yesterday or the day before that you posted something on Instagram, and it was like exactly like what I was thinking of. You post a lot of photos that you've taken, that tend to have sort of this like blurred edge kind of aesthetic. And like, I mean, I'm talking about photos. I don't know anything about photography. So I'm sorry if I sound like an idiot, but how do you feel like, if at all, how do you feel like your approach to photography or visual aesthetics and your approach to music, like do you think those two things inform each other or play off of each other at all?
I mean, I think they do. In the same way that I like use my songs to try to capture like the dreams or sort of those feelings, something intangible that like I have, like I mean, I don't really have a lot of like visual. I can't make images in my head really.
Uh-huh.
And so photography for me is like kind of trying to capture like what I see and the world around me. And I tend to lean very like lo-fi with that, because I just like, sometimes I find it hard also to discern like dreams from reality. And
mm-hmm.
so I want to sort of present that and capture that in my photography as well.
That's really cool.
And so like with the music being trying to capture dreams, and then like my photos trying to do sort of the same thing, but in a way that it's more about like coming across things in reality that feel that way to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like it feels to me, at least from what you're describing, it feels like sort of a way of externalizing something internal that doesn't necessarily have like a firm like visual foundation, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, given in part to this kind of like blurred aesthetic that you have going on in your songs, I think sometimes, so there are lyrics in many of your songs. And, you know, when I was kind of like sifting through what you have on Bandcamp for your last album that came out in 2020, like you have lyrics there for the listener to check out. But also listening back to your songs, some of the lyrics are not necessarily like clear and like they're not hitting you in the face. They are sort of, they're very much in the midst of this kind of like wall of sound. There's like another thing in the wall. I hope that's okay to say.
No,
like,
totally. Yeah.
Do you feel like the music speaks for itself to the extent that you want it to, and that the lyrics are just kind of there for people who are extra curious and want to check them out? Or is it like, you're like, yes, I want people to hear these lyrics, but also I'm not going to like compromise on my aesthetic. What's your thought process when it comes to incorporating your lyrics?
So I kind of hate my own voice.
Oh my God. Damn it.
And I bury it. But it also, like, it's kind of like a multifold answer. So, like, yes, it is kind of like I don't really care for the sound of my own voice. Okay. And I see voice as just another instrument for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of came from, like, when I'm listening to music, a lot of times I have a really hard time, like, understanding lyrics and understanding, like, the human voice when it's sung.
Uh-huh.
Like, I hear it, I can, like, tell that it's a person, but I, like, my brain can't process the language. Yeah. And so for me, I kind of like to capture some of that and bring it in. And, I put my vocals like really deep in the mix to sort of have them just be another instrument. And sometimes I'll bring it up a little bit more if I want it to be a little more clear, or if I want it to sort of punch a little bit harder, or if I want the lyrics to sort of come out.
Totally.
But most of the time I do bury it because I for me, it's more of just like an ice, like sprinkles on top.
Yeah.
And not so much meant to carry the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want the songs to be carried more by the mood and the feeling that's coming out of it, and less by like, here's the idea behind it. And if people are curious and want to like know what the lyrics are, like, mm-hmm, absolutely, like I put them out there so that they can be read as well.
That's cool. They're almost like, and you kind of, would you say that you're like, when you post photos on Instagram, for instance, the caption is always like, it feels like a poem to me. Do you feel like your lyrics are also just kind of poems to go with this thing that is a much larger work?
I think so. Yeah. Like, yeah. I used to write like a lot of poetry, like, mm-hmm, all the time. And a friend of mine and I would make zines all the time of our poetry.
Oh, cool.
And so it's something that I still do. I just don't put them out in zine form anymore. I do them either as the little captions, or I'll do lyrics in the songs. And so, mm-hmm, like, that's sort of where my poems have moved to. And yeah, it totally is just like an incorporation of like the body of work. I think as I've grown as an artist, I have stopped compartmentalizing my work so much.
Yeah.
And started putting it together into this project that has sort of just become my life over the last several years.
Your life is an art project.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say my life is an art project.
It's too far.
That's a little too far. Yeah. But this art project is sort of like, I mean, it's really important to me, and it has all of the different disciplines I've worked in have sort of come together to inform what it became.
That's cool. I also like, what you said earlier about like, sort of how you process other people singing, and how you have a hard time sort of like processing what the words are when people are singing. And then you put that into your own, you put that feeling into your own songs. It's almost like, I feel like you are very successfully kind of bringing the listener into your own brain, which I don't know. I feel like that's peak expression. I don't know. do you feel like that's a little bit your goal, whether you're necessarily thinking about that all the time?
I guess I'd never thought about that before or thought of it that way, but I guess in trying to translate my dreams into sound, which is something for me, sound is just enveloping.
Yeah.
And when I listen to music, I listen really, really loudly and I want to feel every part of it. And I think that, yeah, absolutely. Like it's, I'm trying to bring someone into something that exists only in my brain.
Right.
But then share it in a way that it becomes sort of tangible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're succeeding. I think you're doing well. How do you feel like the scene, you know, obviously I am very much an outsider. I'm just here visiting. So I don't know what the scene is like in Albuquerque. I've been following some Albuquerque musicians and artists on Instagram a little bit. So like I have a very like small little window into the scene here, but as somebody who's part of it, how do you feel like the scene in Albuquerque in particular has had an effect on like how you make and perform music?
I mean, the Albuquerque scene is just incredible. And all of the artists are just wonderful. Everyone is so fucking supportive of each other here. Mm-hmm. And it's just beautiful to see. And I don't think I would have been able to do this project if it wasn't for the Albuquerque scene and the support that I got from people. Like going out there like by yourself with just like a guitar and a little, you know, sampler and being like, I'm gonna make little boopy sounds, like, and people are like, dude, that was fucking awesome. Like everyone just gasses you up so much.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
Like everyone's so supportive and it's so wonderful. Like, and we have really wonderful DIY spaces like La Chancla that's being run by like incredible folks who just give so much of themselves to the scene just to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beautiful to see. And I mean, especially in the last couple of years, it has blown up here. Like
Seems like, because I've been following La Chancla on Instagram and I'm like, this is like such a, this is, it feels very much like an environment where people are like, let's fucking go, let's do yeah. some weird shit at the DIY space, let's support the homies, like
it's amazing. Like, no, and like everyone's totally like, I don't know if I've ever seen a show where people are like show up and they like will shit on anyone else, like,
yeah,
and it's great. And I'm like, dude, yeah, like let's all get together and like openly support each other and like keep gassing each other up, because like it gives everyone these opportunities to like express themselves in such a genuine and beautiful way. And
mm-hmm. Well, and it gives you like, I feel like it gives people more confidence to experiment and try things in front of, like air things out in front of an audience that they might not necessarily. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. It's really cool. Like that most of the folks in town have like really open minds to just seeing people do weird shit.
Ugh, yeah. That's amazing. That's so important. I love that.
Yes.
So in terms of, and I don't know how much you have like nailed down at this point, but so back to your split with Overwhelm. I know you said like masters are coming back soon or have come back, or so we're in the end stages, it sounds like.
Yes. So we're waiting for the masters right now. I have been like kicking the can down the road on developing a roll of film that I need to just do. And Milan's like, hey buddy, where's those pictures? And I'm like, shit, fuck, sorry, dude. Like I needed, but we're getting the art together. We're getting, the masters back soon. And mm-hmm. then we're going to start working on setting up like a release performance.
Yes.
I think the plan was to perform the full split together.
Mm-hmm.
And then include maybe like a little special cover song as well that we'll do as like a collaboration.
Yes.
So it'll be really like, I'm really excited for it. And I think they're really excited for it. I hope they're really excited for it.
They're listening to this being like, hey, we're so excited.
They're like, ha, ha, ha. but yeah, we're really close to getting it done. I The original goal, I think, was early summer, but I think we're looking a little past that because we do want to figure out a physical format to release it on. Mm-hmm. And we want to get that the release show together as well. So.
Nice. So the in terms of the art that you mentioned, is that just art that's going to be as part of like the physical release, or is there going to be sort of a specific visual art element as part of the release show?
Oh, that's a really good question. So it'll be like the album art is what we're working on mm-hmm. currently with the photos, and then I think there was talk about doing like a projections yes. with the live show. So it'll be like a whole like collaborative art piece that yes. comes out, and I'm really excited about it. So.
We love a multimedia piece.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. In terms of your solo stuff, with that, you know, apart from Overwhelm that you're working on now and hoping to play with a band, do you have any sort of projections in terms of kind of when you want that to be and if you want to release something? And
it's definitely going to be a new album. So yes. I'm hoping by the end of the year to have the album ready. I'll probably start performing it before everything is done, depending on sort of what the next couple months look like as far as songwriting goes and as far as putting together the live band, because this is the stuff I've been writing is definitely stuff that I probably could, but I don't want to perform solo. I'd like to just get a band put together and sort of have that happen.
Yes.
And that'll be, I'm hoping to start performing the new material in fall. So
lovely.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And it's also another like further departure after, you know, Dead Willow was kind of me moving in a new direction. And then I finished that and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
You're like, that's done. Yep. That's very yesterday. And now it's today. And I'm a different person.
Yes. I like woke up one morning and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play with one overdrive pedal and that's it.
Sometimes and, that's all you need.
Like took everything else off my board. Which is, it feels like blasphemy.
Oh my God, that's so stripped down.
I know, and I'm not even like no loop station or anything. It's
oh my God, somniloquist unplugged.
Ish.
Like relatively unplugged.
Yeah, probably as unplugged as I'll play.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. As unplugged as we can be.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Ah, so many exciting things on the horizon.
Yeah, I'm really excited and terrified, but...
You know what? I feel like that's a good place to... it doesn't necessarily feel like it all the time, but being excited and terrified at the same time, it's like, it's a sweet spot.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, it's that good kind of terrified.
Yeah, that's where the good shit comes from.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so people can find your music. Obviously, people need to like watch Instagram and Bandcamp and everything to see, you know, what's coming up. But people can currently find your music at somniloquist.bandcamp.com, correct?
Yes.
And like I will also post details in like the show notes of this podcast. So and people can also find Overwhelm. Is it just overwhelm.bandcamp.com?
I would have to double check, I believe.
I should check that, yeah.
And but then we're also both on Spotify as well.
Oh, lovely. Okay. And I think you're on Apple Music
On Apple Music, yeah. And I think I might be on Tidal. I don't remember.
you're on major streaming platforms.
Yes.
Yes. Keep your eyes peeled. Follow Somniloquist and Overwhelm on Instagram. Just keep an eye out for updates on their upcoming split and impending release show. Yeah. David, thank you so much. This has been so great to meet you and talk with you.
Thank you so much. It was really great to meet you as well.